good to see everyone this morning. And for Rhonda, good to have you. And I think she's the only one that's not been here while we've been doing this, so everybody else is welcome too. Anybody know where we're at? Second Thessalonians. Anybody know what chapter? Chapter 2. Thank you, John. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14, if you will. Yeah, Isaiah 14. Now, I'm going to read quite extensively this morning. I think you'll understand why when we get through. 14. Are you there? All right. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. Now, who is the stranger there? Thank you. Thank you. Remember, there's only two groups of people in the world, Jews and Gentiles. There's only two people in the world. Saints and ain'ts. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's simple. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for the saints and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from the sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon was the oppressor, correct? Who had he oppressed? The children of Israel, God's chosen people. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. In other words, what he's saying is, there's going to come a time when I'm going to do away with you and your kingdom. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. You remember last week I told you the day is coming when God will trouble them that trouble you. Well, it was the same here. Babylon had troubled Israel. Now, bless God, it's time for them to get troubled. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. God can trouble you a whole lot more than man can trouble you. Right. Fear not him who can kill the body. Fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Right. So when God troubles, he troubles a lot. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fowler is come up against us. Hail from beneath is moved up for thee. Who's thee? The persecutors, the oppressors of Israel. To meet thee at thy coming, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from thy thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? This king that had all this power? All of a sudden you're like us. You've got no power. You're oppressed. You're persecuted. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Oh, wait a minute. I guess he wasn't talking to the king of Babylon after all. Was he? Oh, the king of Babylon was just the vessel. The king of Babylon was just the instrument. Satan was behind it. Let me tell you something. Everything that opposeth God, Satan is behind it. I'm going to show you that. I mean, it's right here. It doesn't hide itself. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, no, you won't. You're going to be in hell. Hell hath reached out for you, he says. People are going to walk by and see you and say, you mean that's what oppressed all the people? That's what caused all the trouble? Are you serious? Look at him. He's in chains. He's in bondage, same as us. Folks, don't ever elevate Satan. First of all, he ain't worth elevating. Second of all, Satan hath no power unless it's given to him. He can't be everywhere at once. He's not here this morning and across town too. You say, well, how does he operate? Well, he's got this power and principality of powers, demons, that operate. And I've told you this, I'll keep telling it to you. The only reason, did anybody, I told my wife, it about broke my heart. And I didn't even know the person. But it about broke my heart. Did anyone hear that 9/11 call of that mother where her son went into that bank and killed those people? Did anyone hear that 9/11 call? She called. And she was saying that her son had left home with a rifle going to the bank. And she said, he's a good boy. Please don't hurt him. At the same time, that good boy was killing people. That boy had no record. She said, now she thought he was mentally disturbed. But folks, let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, you can do anything. Because Satan and his demons can enter you, just ask Judas. If you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside, don't file that. I'll prove everything I'm telling you. I don't throw out my opinions. I prove it by God's word. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you, I don't care if you're the best neighbor in town. You're capable one day of walking next door and killing your neighbor and his family. You say, oh, just keep awing all you want. I'm just telling you. Satan is real. His demons are real. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're susceptible to the demons going inside you and causing you to do something that is unfathomable. You can't explain to me any other reason that someone would walk into a school and kill little 9-year-old children they didn't even know, or kill 3 adults that were just there trying to help the children. You can't explain that any other way. It's not explainable any other way. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Are you serious? Is this the one that caused all this trouble? From the Garden of Eden on, that opposed God, and he's caused all, and we've so thought of him in such a magnificent, great way. Look at him. He's nothing. Well, let me tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan's nothing. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you let people tell you that Satan can go inside a child of God. No way. Shape, form, nor fashion. But don't also let them tell you that if you don't know Christ, they can't go in you either. Because they can. And they will. Now look, if you will, at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. You'll probably get there before I do. But I'm there. Well, I ain't waiting on you. Here we go. Are you there? Chapter 28. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, see, this this is not me telling you this stuff, folks. You know, I went to, is Connie not here? Is she? Huh? We were at revival Thursday night over here, and the preacher was talking about a pastor in Nashville that was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, but had a progressive church now, and stood up in the pulpit, raised the Bible in his hand, and said, "This is not the Word of God." No, no, because they believe that. They believe that. This is the Word of God. Every A, every I, every N, every comma, every period, every... What's your mother pronounce? Huh? Yeah, everything. Everything in here is God. You don't have to believe that, but you'll have to answer for not believing it. See, that's the thing. God doesn't require you to do anything here. He just tells you, you know, believe in my son and you'll have life. He doesn't hit you over the head and make you do it. If you choose not to, it's your business, not mine. But it'll be God's business one day. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now this is, you know, there was really a prince of Tyrus because there is a city called Tyrus and there was a prince there. So he says, unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of a God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. He's exalted himself. Isn't that what the Caesars did, folks, in the Roman Empire? It's not changed from the Babylon. I just read you where the Babylon king did the same thing. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Well, no, he is. It says he is. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hid from thee. Behold, with thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Look, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look around and see if that's prevalent today. Look at the wealthy. You think the wealthy get the same justice we do, folks? Now, seriously, do you think they get looked at the same way you and I do? If you think that, you'd be dead wrong. Therefore, they exalt themselves. They're above everything. They get away with everything, they think. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic or thy trading, hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. What's happening here is God is saying to him, you better know I'm watching. You better know I don't look on the outside. I look upon the heart. And when you exalt your heart, I see that. That's pride. Seven things doth God hate. What's the first one? A proud look. So he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I'll bring strangers upon thee. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? No. I mean, when the guy puts the sword right into your gut, what are you going to say to him? Well, you can't do that. I'm God. Well, I guess he can, and he did. See, he can't kill God. So he's going to prove he's not a God because he's going to have him killed. You say, Tom, what kind of a God would have you killed? Well, the one I serve, the one who's my father, and the one day who will bring wrath on this world and judgment to every individual that denies his son. That's who. And if you got a problem with it, if I've got a problem with it, if anybody's got a problem with it, take it up with God. I don't think you'll have much to say. Verse 10, thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Oh, wait a minute. Now, who's the king? Who's the king of Tyrus? Well, that'd be the father of the prince of Tyrus, right? Right? Well, let's see if it is. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God that sealeth up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. Well, I don't think the king of Tyrus was in Eden, folks. That'd been thousands of years earlier. Has anything changed from the king of Babylon to the king of Tyrus? We better get this and get this good. This is not complicated. Satan wants to complicate this thing, folks. I just read in the paper this week where a guy said that this didn't fit today's society. No, he had it wrong. Today's society don't fit this. See, he turned it around, which is what they do. We better never try to dilute this, try to diminish this, try to alter this. This don't change. This was as good when this was written in Ezekiel as it is today. And the thing today is this. Satan is behind just about every government and every government official in this world. I hate to say that. And the reason I say that is this. I don't see any government nor any government official who's holding this up and asking us to get back to God. I wish one would come along. I'd sure love to vote for he or she. And I wouldn't care if it was a he or she if they were holding this up. But they're not. Therefore, he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Don't ever forget this. Satan was created same as you are. He's a spirit, but he was created. But he got in his mind that he wanted to be above God. That he could be the same as God, equal to God. Well, I got news for you. There's one that's equal with God. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember what he said? Lord, restore unto me the glory that I had with thee from the beginning. And this religion, this teaching that goes around that Satan and Jesus was brothers is damnable. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked in the up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. My gosh. How could someone be in the very presence of God? And then one day say, well, I want to rise above him. Well, God doesn't take that too lightly, does he? If you go on and read this, I'm not. You know what he did? He said, therefore, I'll cast you out. Well, let me tell you something. You just do the same thing here as a human being. And one day you'll be cast out too. Only you'll be cast right where he's going, into hell, into the lake of fire and brimstone that's never dies. Never, it's quenched. Why? Because you were of your father. Well, that's what Jesus said, by the way. They said, oh, we'd be of Abraham. Abraham is our father. We're not bastards. Jesus said, oh, no. If you were of Abraham, you would believe in me. Abraham believed in me. You are of your father, the devil. The same one that got kicked out of heaven now is your father. How does he become a person's father? Well, you reject God the Father. It's not hard. If you accept Jesus Christ, who becomes your father? So if you don't want Satan as your father, come through Christ. But if you choose not to, if you choose to say, oh, no, that's just religion. That's just you Baptists or you Methodists or you whoever it is. That's just y'all's religion. I'm not into that religion. Well, you don't have to be in that religion, but you better be in Christ. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Same thing that will separate Satan from God will separate us from God, folks. Sin. Sin will separate you. Got to do something about your sin. You know, that's what I always say to, or I would say, I don't, I shouldn't say I always say, I would always say, I should say it that way. I'm saying a lot of says, aren't I? Yeah, sound like somebody else I know. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. I've said so many says, I forgot what I was going to say. It'll come back to me, don't worry. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Oh, I always say to anyone, or I would always say to anyone that would listen that is in some other religion, what are you going to do about your sin? Let's take Buddha, for example. Let's take Hindu, for example. Let's take Judaism, for example. Let's take Christianity, for example. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. All you got to do is look around some of the things that are under the label of Christianity. Well, it's an abomination. And I'd say to all of them, what are you going to do about your sin? We don't know sin separates from God. And if you've got sin, when you stand before God, you'll be separated from him forever. I read that to you in Thessalonians. Remember what he says? To be out of the presence of God is part of the punishment. Look, if you will, at Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Now, in chapter 8, we are introduced in chapter 8 to someone. He's called the little horn. Anybody familiar with that in Daniel? He's called the little horn. And the little horn is in reference to someone called Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a real person, who was the third king from Darius, and was just brutal. But if you read that account in chapter 8, I'm not going to, I'm just telling you what it says because I want to go to 11. If you read that, you get the idea, and you understand that it's the idea, that it's not talking about just Antiochus Epiphanes, he's talking about the Antichrist. Because he moves you from the time of Antiochus Epiphanes contemporaneously into the future. Well, the last time I checked, Antiochus Epiphanes is dead. He ain't in the future. So I know that he's moved to someone else. Now, and I think when I read this, you're going to get an idea. Now, the first 34 verses of chapter 11, I'm not going to read them to you, but they talk about these different kings. They talk about these different kingdoms, from the Babylonian kingdom to the Medo-Persian kingdom to the Grecian kingdom to the Roman kingdom. And it talks about the rulers of each one. And it moves you along. But then it comes to 35. And it says this: "And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end." Well, the last time I checked, the Roman Empire wasn't the end, because I'm still here. So I know he's moved us forward now to the future. He says, because it is yet... Oh, I knew I'd read that somewhere. "Because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall..." Maybe I'm doing a terrible job this morning. I've already introduced you to two kings. One, the king of Babylon, and one, the king of Tyrus. And what did they do? What is the same sin they both committed? They exalted themselves. Folks, look, a person can never be saved if they exalt themselves. Do you know how I know that, Sandy? Where does it say that, honey? Since you say it's in the Bible.
God says I am.
Well, I'll help you. I like to help Sandy because she's my buddy. She used to be my banker and loan me money, but she can't anymore, but I still like her. You know, because I don't want to borrow any money anymore. What was I saying?
You're going to help.
Oh, yeah. "He that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be
exalted."
That's what Scripture tells you, honey. So, you know then that this king that exalted himself wasn't humbling himself, was it? The Bible says, "Humble thyself before the mighty hand of God. For a contrite spirit and a broken heart and a contrite spirit will God hear. But if you come to him in a proud way, he won't hear you." You know, and please don't misunderstand this. I beg you. I'm just trying to make points. I worry about this new way of inviting people to Christ, folks. You know, you can come to the altar and repeat this prayer that I pray for you. I worry about that. Because the Bible says this, and that's what I go by. Look, I just try to fill myself up with this, and that's what I go by. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. If you're not sorry towards God, I ain't got a prayer I can help you with. But if you're sorry towards God, you won't need me to pray. Because by the time you get up out of that seat and get to that altar, you're already one of his, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not judging anything. But I just don't think godly sorrow causes you to come down the aisle chewing gum and grinning. I see it a lot. I call it easy believism. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever wonder why you can't find them 6 months later, maybe they're still chewing gum. Godly sorrow will break you. You say, "How you know that, Tom?" Bless God, it broke me. Well, it ain't going to treat me any different than it treats somebody else. We got to go by this. You know, people wonder, they say, "Tom, how many books do you look at?" Well, that's a simple question for me. I don't even have to get past the second grade to know how many books I read. I doubt if there's a little child in that nursery that can't go like this. I don't need other books, folks. This book will tell you everything. When I get there, I don't even have a clock up. How am I going to know what time it is? When I get there, you can see I'm not, look, I know y'all think I just chase rabbits sometimes, but when I get there, you'll see where the rabbit lays. I may be chasing it, but we'll catch it. Don't worry. So, anybody know where I was at? I do. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Does that sound familiar to today's time, folks? Listen, you can't explain transgenderism any other way than they want to be their own God. God said, male and female did he create. Now, if you want to change that, you go right ahead. But you won't change it without answering for it. But if I say that, then I'm a hater. No. No. You know, it'd sort of be like if I passed by the church one Sunday morning and there's blazes coming out everywhere and I run in and I say, folks, get out of here. This building's on fire. And you say, why, you just hate us. You just don't love us. No. No. I don't want to see you destroyed in the fire. I honestly love them, folks. I love heterosexuals as much as I love homosexuals. Because it doesn't make any difference what your sexuality is. If you're in sin, you're in sin. The only problem with the homosexual part is God calls it an abomination. And he says, therefore, I'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. Well, you know what that means, don't you? I told you to look that up one day. Did anybody take the time to look it up? It means a cast off, a castaway. You won't have a mind. That's how serious it is, folks. And I don't say that judgmentally. I'm not the judge. This is the judge. It's going to judge everyone, man and woman, boy and girl that are of age of accountability. It's going to judge them all, me, you. And if you don't believe that, you'll find out at the wrong time, at a bad time. So he goes on to say this. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now listen, if that don't strike a note with you, I can't help you. He's talking about the Antichrist here. Well, if you haven't seen the onslaught of LGBTQ plus T, whatever it is, there's a lot of initials and a lot of symbols. I don't know, they're running out, I think. But I don't know what you'd call a man that doesn't desire a woman other than a man that desires a man. That's me. You take it however you want to. I'm just telling you what I think. Nor regard any God. For he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate he shall honor the God of forces and a God whom is, in other words, his own military might, folks. Well, what do you hear a lot in the news here lately? We're hearing about China building up their military. Iran's wanting a nuclear bomb. Russia's getting military aid and military weapons from China. We're sending it to Ukraine. Everything's about military might. And the one with the most might's the one's going to rule this thing. That's what they think. But who's really behind that thinking? I've tried to explain it to you who's behind it. Now the reason for that will become evident when I get there, which probably won't be today, so you'll have to come back next week. I'm going as fast as I can. This is not easy to get through in a hurry. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor. Now that tells me he's going to be a Jew. Because if you think about it, I don't think a Gentile could deceive Jews. Just saying. So I think the Antichrist is going to be a gay Jew. Now that you don't run out here and say I taught that, because I'm not teaching that. I said that's my opinion. You take what this you want to. New knot shall honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause him to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. All you got to do is go read Revelation chapter 13. And if you don't see that come to fruition, I'll get out here and never say another word. So anyway, he comes on up. I got to go fast now. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him and the king of the north. Now he's talking about the Antichrist here now. And they're going to bring these armies from the north and from the south, but he'll whip them. He goes through the land, the glorious land, which we all know is Israel. And then it says this at the end. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall. Now look, if you read this account in Revelation, it says that he brings out his army, but it's not against another army. It's the army of God that he comes after. And according to how I read it, not one shot is fired. Some war, some battle. Well, that's what happens when you go against the God of gods, the God of all creation, the Almighty God, the living God. That's what happens when you go against him. You know what happens? You're dead. Guess what happens? They all fall over dead, except two. The Antichrist and the false prophet. You know what happens to them, Jimmy? The Bible says this, and they were taken and put in the lake of fire. All God does is just... So whose side should we be on? I mean, you doesn't have to have a PhD to figure this out, folks. If you read the end of the book, you'll know who wins. Well, guess what? 2 Thessalonians is about the same thing. The story hasn't changed. Oh, centuries have gone by. A lot of them. A lot of years have passed. And Paul says this. Now I'm just going to read. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our... Is that not what we look forward to? The return of the Lord. And he says, and they shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall they ever be with him. That's what that's saying in just short words, in just a synopsis of it. But then he wants to expand on it just a little bit. That ye be not soon shaken. The word shaken there means agitated. Anybody ever been agitated? Oh, God. Listen, agitation is bad. It is. It'll keep you awake at night. It'll make you shaky. It'll make you nervous. Hard to get along with. You know, you walk into the kitchen and you don't like what's being cooked, and you agitate the cooker. You're liable to get a pan over your head. But he says, I don't want you to be agitated in mind, nor troubled. That word troubled means frightened. I don't want you to be afraid. Who's he talking to here, folks? The church. Not a church. The church. The family of God. the saints of God. I don't want you to be agitated. I don't want you to have fear. I mean, should we look at the coming of the Lord with fear? I don't. I'm like John, even so, come Lord Jesus. We had a testimony in prayer room this morning. Someone that had been being prayed for, and it was said that God healed him yesterday. Isn't that wonderful? He took him on to glory. Well, that's the greatest healing you get. You know, he goes to sleep with a brain tumor. He wakes up with none. I mean, that'd be like going into surgery. You go to sleep with it, you come out and they say, we got it all. Well, that's wonderful to me. So he says, that you not be soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, or afraid. Don't be agitated and afraid. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Don't let anybody deceive you and get you all upset and say, oh God, the Lord's here. He says, that's not the case. That's not the case. Because he says, if the Lord's here, you wouldn't be here. Wasn't that what he said? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and our gathering together. So if he comes, we're gone. So why would you be agitated and afraid of that? But they were, evidently. Because he goes on to say this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The coming of the Lord and our gathering unto him shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That falling away is the word apostatio in the Greek. I'll give you two guesses, and the first one don't count, as what that word means. I say, the Greek word is apostatio. I'll give you two guesses, and the first one don't count what that means. What? No. Apostasy. Now, we've all heard the word apostasy, haven't we? Well, the apostasy just simply means a departure from the truth. A departure, well, if you depart from the truth, you depart from the faith, because the truth is Christ died for us on Calvary, was raised the third day for our justification in the sight of God, and sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. That's the faith. Well, that's the truth too, so they're inseparable, so you're right. But apostasy is a departure from the truth. And if you don't see that, I can't help you. If you don't see that every day you wake, you're awake and looking around. If you don't see this world departing from the truth, here's the truth, folks. Remember what Jesus said in his prayer in 17. Anybody ever go and pray? Read that. I told you to about the 100th time now. It's the most wonderful prayer you ever heard. But he says, Father, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if Jesus says that, what am I supposed to do? Let's God look at this, it's the truth. But see, apostasy is departing from that. And if you don't see this world departing from it, if you don't see Christianity, quote unquote, departing from it, if you don't see religion departing from it, I can't help you. You're not looking. If you're seeing that, then you know that the coming is close. But I'm going to show you something you didn't even think of that's close. Let's see what else is here. He says, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition or destruction or Satan. Now, I gave you illustration after illustration this morning of what that is. The son of perdition, the wicked one, he calls him later, is none other than the Antichrist. Now, 1 John says it this way. 1 John says that there are many Antichrists in the world. And there are. Because what is an Antichrist? Well, it tells you. He that denieth that Jesus hath come in the flesh is an Antichrist. So now you know what an Antichrist is. But this is the King Antichrist, whose God is going to give a lot of power to through Satan. Because remember, I told you, Satan don't have any power unless it's given to him. Remember what he said to Pilate? Pilate said, now listen, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to set you free? What was Jesus' answer? Oh, Pilate. Pilate, son, let me help you out here. You don't have any power except my Father give it to you. So if my Father don't want me dead, you couldn't kill me if you wanted to. Wasn't that what he said? I have the power to lay it down. Oh, you don't. I mean, who can kill God? Well, last time I checked, God is eternal. He don't die. Jesus died, didn't he? But he was in the flesh. God didn't die, the flesh died. So all power belongs to God. That's what Psalm says. All power belongeth unto God. And what did Jesus say? Well, I have all power in heaven and in earth. So if Satan has power, where'd he get it? If Satan gives power to a man, where'd he get it? Well, it got from God. I'm going to show you that. I'm not making this up. It's here. It's here. Oh, I've got to hurry. Roll the clock back. Okay, let me read fast. I say I will, but I won't. And he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself. What was that sin that all the rest of them kings did? What was the sin that Satan did? Well, bless God, it's not changed. Above all that is called God or that worshipeth, so that he is that God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, he thinks he's God, but he's not. Because remember, God said, well, somebody's going to kill you. And then what are you going to say? Well, you can't kill me. I'm God. But that don't work out. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. What's withholding all this? Absolutely. And when God says, you're out of here. Now, I know you can't get, look, God's everywhere. So I understand the Holy Spirit's everywhere too. But when God says, no, your job of holding this thing back is done, then it'll be done. Because he says, he which now left will it. And he says, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already working. If you don't see that, you're not looking around. If your righteous soul is not vexed every day now, you're not looking around. You're not wanting to look around. Because it's there. And he says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. I just told you about that in Revelation, didn't I? And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You know, the same fate of the Antichrist will be the same fate of Satan himself. Because it's Satan that's behind it all. Because it says in Revelations they worship the dragon. Who's that? Satan. And they worship the beast. Who's that? The Antichrist. And they worship the false prophet. That's Antichrist's prophet. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, in case you missed it, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be. Listen, there's only one reason that you'll go to hell. You would not accept. You would not take to yourself the love of the truth. Well, what is the love of the truth? Or I should say, who is the love of the truth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If you won't accept him, you're denying the love of the truth. And you belong to Satan. And for this very reason, or for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And that they might all be damned. Next time you hear someone say, well, I'll be damned. Don't laugh. I didn't mean that, sir. I wasn't pointing at you. That's not funny. Being damned by God ain't funny. But we've taken these words and you know, well, what the hell? Why, it's hot as hell today. Or, well, this country's gone to hell. Hell's no joke. Damnation's no joke. And when people stand before God lost, it won't be a joke. God won't be laughing. That they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in it. They not only rejected Christ, they had pleasure in rejecting Him. They not only rejected a life with Christ, they had pleasure in the life without Him. And now it's judgment time. It's payment time. Guy wrote a book called Payday Someday. And you're just as sure as I'm standing here and having to close this Bible because time's run out. Payday will be someday, folks. And if you're looking around with spiritual eyes, it ain't far away. I'm close to 75-year-old. I may not see 76. But I'm telling you this right now. It's close. And one day is as 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years as one day. Don't look like it, don't look on it like man does. You better look on it like God does. And realize that when the man of sin is revealed, if you're saved, you're out of here. If you're lost, it ain't gonna be any good. Goodbye.